In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
Brothers and sisters, this gospel story about the healing of the paralytic can be summed up by three sentences from the reading. They're very important sentences. Wilt thou be made whole? Rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. We're reading this gospel reading because this incident happened around mid-Pentecost. Mid-Pentecost is a Jewish feast and also now a Christian feast, just as Pentecost and Pascha were Jewish feasts and they are now Christian feasts. So mid-Pentecost is this Wednesday, and so we have the reading for the paralytic just before it every single year. It's all about sin. It's all about what sin does to us and how we can recover from sin. One can argue, I suppose, about what the most important sentence is in this summary. Is it, wilt thou be made whole? The question, do you want to be healed? Or is it the command of Christ, rise, take up thy bed and walk? Or is it our Lord's warning, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing fall upon thee? I suppose it's arguable which one is more important. I personally think that the first one is the most important, wilt thou be made whole, because it encompasses the other two. If a person wants to be healed, they are going to obey Christ when he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk, which not only was something the Lord said historically to a man whom he healed, but also is a command to us. It is after your baptism, and of course this pool is symbolic of baptism, and the healing that occurred in it one time a year is symbolic of baptism, which occurs for everyone who is baptized. So after baptism, we are to rise, take up our bed, and walk. In other words, we are to shake up off our paralysis. We are to do work. We are to live as Christians. Now, a person who wants to be healed will obey God and will recognize in himself that he could come back to what he formerly was. A paralytic, if he did not use his muscles after he was raised up, would fall into lethargy and would become a paralytic again. You have to use your limbs in order for them to remain strong. So it is with our souls. If God cleanses our souls and strengthens our souls through baptism, then we must use that ability, or else we do, as the proverb goes, lose it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And that's true in the Christian life. That's true in many areas of life. So if you want to be made whole, you're going to obey God. And also, you'll be aware, as Christ reminds the man, behold, thou art made whole. You'll be aware of your healing all the time. You'll never forget it. It won't be something that passes out of your mind, like who your best friend was in high school, or your favorite musical group or something else. Those things can change. But this thing you would remember every day of your life, every moment of your life, that you've been made whole. And therefore that you don't want to sin, because sin causes you to be fragmented, fractured, sick, diseased, and not whole. This question, wilt thou be made whole, is not a trivial question. And it's a question that I think most of us do not answer completely in the affirmative. Well, we say, yes, we want to be made whole. Yes, we say we want to love God. We say we want to be rid of our passions of anger or of lust or of jealousy or of talking too much or of smoking or whatever it is. We say that we want to be free of those passions. But listen to what the man said when the Lord asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" His first answer was not, "Yes, please help me." It wasn't that. It was a reason why he was not whole. "I've been waiting here, and while I am waiting, someone gets to the water before me, because I have nobody to help me." That is our answer so much to the Lord. He says, "Do you want to be made whole?" And we say, "Yes, I do." And then he tells us the things that we need to do. And then we are not so sure. How many of us confess frequently that, when we do confess, that is, every time you confess, some of you don't confess frequently, but the times you confess, how often would you say, "I don't say my prayers very much," or "I don't fast very well," or "I don't read the Bible very much or at all"? If you want to be made whole, you're going to do everything you can to be made whole. If you want to be a doctor, you're going to study real hard so that you pass your exams. If you go to medical school and you don't study very hard and don't happen to be a genius student and you flunk out of medical school, it's clear you didn't really want to be a doctor. So it is with the Christian life. This question you should ask yourself every day. I do. This question echoes in my mind many times. I'm not saying the exact verbiage here that I'm remembering this story. But I remember every day that I'm a Christian that needs to be more whole. Jesus Christ lives with me in me, and yet I still live like a sinner. And I feel that dissonance between what I should be and what I am. And I've told you many times, I wish very much for you, my flock, to feel that dissonance too, to feel that tension, to feel that there is something that you're not, but you should be, and you can be. And you should cultivate desiring to do this thing, to become whole. Cultivate in yourself this. This is why I, as a pastor, I'm always asking just about every one of you, do you read the Gospels? How much do you pray? Do you fast? Do you come to church other than just on Sunday? And not irregularly. The reason I ask you these questions is because they are, if they're answered in the affirmative, in the way we know they should be, whether we're doing them or not, then we are answering to the Lord, "Yes, I want to be made whole." You should be answering that question, yes, 100 times today by the way you live, by the way you act, by the attitudes you have, and by controlling your thoughts. Also, when I see this man's response, I realize how terrible our thoughts can be. Life is 100% thought. It's all about your thoughts. Whether you consciously think something or not, everything that you do proceeds from thought. Your attitudes, your priorities, the things you want, the things you don't want, the temptations in your life, they all proceed from thought. This man, although he'd been waiting patiently, and that was virtuous, for 38 years, which is beyond a lifetime for most of the people of that time. That's why the number is given. It showed that he was suffering for a very long time. Even though he'd been waiting for 38 years, his thoughts were not good thoughts. His thoughts were, "I have no one to help me." His thoughts were, "Someone else is going to be healed before me." It was good that he was enduring. If he had allowed his thoughts to completely dominate him, he would have had someone take him home, and because he wouldn't have been able to bear seeing another person healed before him, and he would have never encountered the Lord. So the man was not without any good thoughts, but his thought that nobody would help him was dominating him. And in us, our negative thoughts dominate us. I was just reading something from a book by Zacharias about his elder Sophrony. And he said that elder Sophrony really emphasized thoughts and that you should never surrender to a thought. That's very important. You might have it. You might have a thought that no one's going to come help me. You might have a thought that I'm too sinful, or you might have all kinds of negative thoughts. This person doesn't like me. This situation will never change. You really can't control that a thought comes in your head. It's like the wind blowing by. But you can, with God helping you, not surrender to the thought. Now, in a battle, the brave soldier does not surrender. He might be bloodied, he might be wounded, but he does not surrender. At the end of the battle, it might not look like he won. He might have lost, but he didn't surrender. That is a brave and a good soldier. That's how you must be with your thoughts. God will heal you. Healing is for you, not for other people only, for you. Wholeness is for you. Jesus Christ died for you. And any thoughts that you have that are dark, that are difficult, that are unpleasant, that make your heart shrivel, those thoughts you must not submit to. Now, as far as not having them, only the perfect are able to not have them. But do not surrender to them. This is war. And you have a sword and a shield, and you're going to take blows. But you got to give them back too. And this is very important. Really, this gospel is in a mystical way describing the whole totality of the spiritual life. Don't give in to your thoughts. Don't surrender to them. Believe that God will heal you. And when you hear a voice that says he won't, whatever it is that your voice is telling you, don't surrender to it. It's as simple as that. Simple, but not easy. Now, if you just try to battle your thoughts and you don't do anything else, you don't have all these other things that can help you, such as prayer and fasting and reading the Gospels to change the way your mind thinks about things, to change your perspective, you're not going to really be able to beat your thoughts. You're going to end up surrendering to them. But what a glorious thing it is when your mind can be serene and peaceful and not have any of those things that are biting at you like thousands of mosquitoes or even hornets. God became man so that this will happen to us. This healing, which is in the context of the sheep's pool, which means it's in the context of baptism, which means it applies to us, is for everyone. But we must have the right attitude. After your baptism, you have to continually be answering that question, will you be made whole? What do you need to do to be made whole? I don't think it is to watch television, to say, tomorrow I'll do this, to feel terrible about things, to feel depressed, to be lazy. That's not how you are made whole. You're made whole by rising, taking up your bed, and walking, and remembering that you were made whole, and fearing sin. Now, I give you the aside that I normally give with sin, because we're all sinners. Some of us sin very grievously. That doesn't impress me. It doesn't impress God. If you repent of your sin, if you want to change, if you want to be healed, God will heal you. That's absolutely true. The reason why people are immersed in so many sins, especially habitual ones and very destructive ones, is because there's a piece of them that doesn't really want to get better. Because a lot of sin, even the sins that are terrible, that hurt us, there's some pleasure involved in them. Even if it's just pleasure in running away from God for a while. And so we must struggle against those sins. God will help us. Be encouraged. Doesn't matter if you're not so good at whatever it is. Doesn't matter if you still have bad thoughts and if you still have lustful thoughts and if you get jealous and if you curse too much and if you smoke and all these things that you want to change. What matters is, do you want to change them? How much do you want to change them? You must prove to yourself and you must prove to God that you want to change. I mentioned Father Zacharias, and he said in a lecture that I read that we must argue with God. We must force God to help us. It sounds sort of ostentatious, but that's what God wants us to do. That's the example of Abraham, right? When he was bargaining for the people of Sodom. I think he went down from 50 to 10, didn't he? If I remember the numbers correctly. And so, we must argue with God. We must be like Jacob who wrestled with God. We must say, I won't leave until you bless me. I will not let go of you until you heal me. Of course, with those statements must come our change. I mean, if we just indulge ourselves in sin and then say, God, heal me, well, God says, no, you're a hypocrite. But if we're struggling against our sin, God will heal each one of us. This is the gospel, the good news. You can be completely healed. This is why I became a Christian. This is why I became a priest. Because this is the most exciting news there is. There's nothing better than that the human being can be completely cleansed, completely clean, completely holy and peaceful. Do you want that? Everybody wants that. But how much do you want that? That's the question set before us today. So I'm asking you as your pastor, learn to ask this question of yourself all the time. So you want to be lazy? You want to not say your prayers? Then I guess you should ask yourself the question, do you want to be healed? Self, how much do you want to be healed? Would you rather watch TV for 2 more hours and fall asleep almost in a stupor? Or would you like to say at least some prayers, something? Make the sign of the cross over your bed and then go to sleep. When you want to be angry at someone, the question should arise. Do you want to be healed? Is this going to help you be healed by sinning against your brother? This question should be uppermost in your mind. You should always be making a comparison. You should be, as the great canon says, a good trader. You must be able to trade the temporary for the permanent. Your works for eternal life. So, brothers and sisters, answer the question all the time. Learn to ask the question. Do you want to be made whole? Now, for some who are sinning a lot or are demoralized about their life, this is a kind of a hard question. This is a scary question. It's one we want to avoid. And as most of us, unfortunately, have this characteristic that things that are unpleasant, we want to avoid. Just about all of us do it. I know I do it. I procrastinate things that I don't like to do. But the one thing that I better not procrastinate is facing up to the fact that I'm a sinner and that I need God. And that God is saying to me every day, do you want to be made whole? And he's offering me his hand. And I must take it. I might not be able to take it with a very strong grip, but his hand's so much stronger than mine, he can hold on. This is how you must live your life. And if you live your life with a desire to be made whole, and you cultivate that desire, and you prove to God that you have this desire, then you will be made whole. It's as simple as that. It's not easy, but it's simple. And it gets easier. There's things that were tough for me when I was younger. They're not tough at all now. The saddest thing for me as a pastor to see is old people immersed in sins and passions. Old people shouldn't act silly. They shouldn't be full of sin. They've had a lifetime to answer the question, wilt thou be made whole? God help you to answer this question and to ask it every day. In fact, most moments of your life, wilt thou be made whole? Answer it firmly in the affirmative, and then prove to God that you mean it, and you'll be healed. God bless you and help you in all things.